Shri Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Anyway, the Kumaras are continuing. This body of the Lord, they recognize, is the absolute truth. And even, what to speak of us, we got your special mercy, but even other self-satisfied sages become exclusively attached to you. Okay, so I read here, 78.19. Niraham manadi tvena anyesham apyatma ramanam anyato ratyabhavam eva dhyotayantas tad atmatattvam ahuhu. Hinting that even other self-satisfied sages fail to be attracted to anything else by virtue of their freedom from selfish egoism and from other faults. The sages, for Kumaras, describe that truth of the self, the Atman Tattva. Tatraiva sadhana vaishishtyad kimapi vaishishtyam chahuhu. Specifically, they describe a certain special aspect which is realized by a special kind of practice. The sadhya, the accomplishment, is determined by the sadhana. Although there's one ultimate goal of life, but how you realize it depends on how you work to achieve it. So they say, I'd like to find those verses again. 315, 40 something? It's 47. Let me read 47 again, although it's the second half of the verse we're dealing with now, but I'll read the whole verse. Tam tva vinam abhagavan param atmatattvam. So they're going to define what that atmatattva is in the second half of the verse. Sarvena samprati vatim vatrayantam esha yate nutapa viditair ritha bhakti yogair udgrantayo vidhi vidur munayo viragaha. We know that you are the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, who manifests his transcendental form in the uncontaminated mode of pure goodness. Then the second half of the verse, this transcendental eternal form of your personality can be understood only by your mercy, through unflinching devotional service by great sages whose hearts have been purified in the devotional way. Okay, that was one of the evidences that Vaikuntha is transcendental, that it's only achieved by devotional service. We're not talking about Vaikuntha now, but he is, and the Lord is only achieved by devotional service too. Yad tvad rupe tvenaiva avyubhavad atmatattvam te anutapaha kripa tenaiva viditai dvida bhakti yogair viduhu. Did we do this already? No. Okay. They say, The truth of the self, which is now appearing in your form, is realized by the painstaking processes of devotional service. And these processes are known only by your compassion, your kindness. That's one way of reading it. Yadva anutapo dainyam tena viditais te tava dritha bhakti yogai. Or alternatively, it is known by the painstaking process of your devotional service, which themselves are known, processes of your devotional service, which themselves are known, which processes are known, only by your compassion, kindness. I'm sorry, I jumped back to the previous line, I read the wrong words. Let me read it again. Here's the alternate explanation. It is known. What is known? The truth of the self is known by the painstaking process of your devotional service, which themselves, which processes, are known by the feeling remorse, by feeling remorse out of humility. So a different meaning of anuttapa. Anuttapa, the first alternative, is taken to mean Krishna's mercy. And the second understanding, it's the devotees feeling sorry for what they did. Okay. Kīdṛśaḥ udgantayo nirahammānā ata eva virāgāḥ. What kind of persons realize this truth? Those who are free from bondage, udgantī, who have no knots, who have no false ego, in other words, and who are thus free from material attachments, those are the kinds of people who realize the Atma-tattva. Now, here's a grammatical question. It's plural. Udgantayaha niraham manaha. Why it looks like singular? Kīdṛśaḥ. What's going on? This is something that shows up in the Tathagatapakarana. Drisha, and Driksha are synonymous suffixes. And it means like something. Tadrish, Tadrisha, or Tadriksha. Well, it means the same. So here we have the consonant ending, ki drish, and then a plural suffix, plural inflection, ki drisha ha. It is pratama bhavavachana. So it is plural. Kīdṛśaḥ. What kind of person to realize the absolute truth? Those who are free from bondage, have no false ego, and are free from material attachments. Free from bondage means, it's glossed as nirahammana, so I should put that in parentheses, not commas. It's glossed. Fixed it. Okay, I'm continuing. Tadevam pitranu varnita raha iti rahat shabdas chattu shloki vitya prema bhaktir eva vajaka iti vyamjitam. This implies that the word mystery, rahas, pitranu varnita raha, see that's masculine, but plural, raha, that's a bow of reed. They who had been told that secret by their father. Pitra, anuvarnita rahas. What is that mystery, rahas? The word mystery, this implies that the word mystery in the phrase, to whom our father described the mystery, refers to nothing other than pure loving devotional service. Nothing, period. We're not Buddhists. Refers to nothing other than pure devotional service. Where am I? As it does in the Chattuk Shloki Bhagavatam. Does Rahas refer to Prema Bhakti? Nothing else in the Chattuk Shloki Bhagavatam? Where? It's only four verses. Which one? Mm-hmm.
How'd it go? Sarahasyam tanam nam cha. We haven't got it all, Mama. I'm telling you, what is it? Tanam nam cha. Oh, I forget the first two lines. But he's teaching devotional service along with the rahasya. He's teaching, what is he teaching? Gyanam te, I tell you, knowledge with the jnana and with the rahasya and with the angas, or the subsidiaries. The transcendental knowledge is with the rahasya, the secret, the mystery. So, in our Vaishnava commentaries, I don't know about Sri Goswami, but Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath take that rahasya to mean prema bhakti. What Brahma heard from Narayan is the absolute truth, but the absolute truth along with the secret of pure devotional service. So that is the same meaning of rahas, the mystery, it's the same mystery that the Kumaras are talking about now.
Okay, so Brahma did tell them. We had before that he was telling about Brahma. But now they're saying, he also told us the mystery of devotional service. That's okay. But still, they heard it, but they weren't listening completely. They didn't have full faith in it, so it didn't have its full effect at that time. Okay, now, continuing. Atam purvam abheda matayopi samprati sarupananda shakti vilasayar vichitra matayo bhuyo vipedatmikam bhaktim eva pratyatum bhaktadam sukhatishayam ahuhu natyantikam. Next verse, beginning of natyantikam. So they're making fun of themselves now about being abhedamantis, subscribers to non-difference. So although we were previously proponents of non-duality, I'm going to say subscribers, I like the word. It's a little funny. So although we were previously subscribers to non-duality, now we ascribe. Okay, we were proponents. So, although we were previously proponents of non-duality, now we ascribe... That's not the right word, is it? Ascribe means to assign something. Maybe it is subscribe here. I have to check that. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Make a note. Subscribe. Now we subscribe to the variegateness which is based on the sporting of your internal pleasure potency. Okay. Now we're vichitra matayo. Our minds now, we were abheda matayo, so we were thinking just about non-duality. Now our minds are full of duality. And we're praying for this bhakti, which is nothing but duality. No self-respecting Mayavadi would pray for duality. But here we are doing it. Pratyatum wasn't translated. Anyway, you heard my ad hoc translation. We were formerly Advaita Mantis. We were proponents of non-duality. And now our minds are full of variety. We've succumbed to duality. And we're praying for this bhakti, which just consists of duality.
end? Okay, continuing. Aprateyatum, I see. Bhaktanam sukata shayam ahu. Oh, here it is.
And to more insistently beg for this duality of devotional service, they describe the extreme happiness of the Lord's devotees in the verse beginning Natyantikam.
Okay, it's okay. It showed up in the next sentence. They're praying there in the next sentence. Okay. So now they're going to pray for this duality. And in that verse, the following verse, they're going to describe the extreme happiness of the Lord's devotees as follows. Natyantikam viganayantyapite prasadam kim vanyadarpita payam bruva unnayaiste yinga twaram nisharana bhavatam kataya kirtanya tirta yashasham kushalara sadhya. Persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions, like the material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. Okay? They're happy, and therefore they don't ask for anything. Atyantikam moksha lakshanam tapa prasadam api kim udanyad indradipadam. They don't ask for atyantikam. The adyantikam, which means the ultimate, is a reference to liberation. We don't care even for this ultimate favor of yours, but to speak of other things, the highest high positions of Indra and others. Okay. First, let's think that the best thing you can get is liberation, merging into the Supreme. We don't care for that. Or at what speed of material things. Commentary. The word anuttapa can have two different meanings, compassion and remorse. And depending on which is chosen, the verse being discussed takes on different shades of meaning. That the Chaturk Shloki, the four verse synopsis of the Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Vishnu to Brahma, means pure loving devotion by the word rahasya, secret, is confirmed in the Bhagavatam commentaries of our acharyas, beginning with Srila Sri Goswami. Someone else, coming from some other sampradaya, maybe Mayavadi or some other group, may take rahasya to mean something else. Vishnu is not being very specific. Sarahasya. I'll tell you knowledge along with the rahasya. When you find out about it, you'll find out what the mystery is. But we are being told by our acharyas, beginning with Sri Goswami, that mystery is pure devotional service. Any questions?
Yes. Before you said that, you're not sure whether Sri Goswami has said
that. Oh, yeah, but now here's the note. Sri Goswami does say it. I didn't remember. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
About instructions which were given by Lord Brahma to the Kumaras. Is it the same case? Like, we know this six velocities. And I heard from explanation that Lord Brahma also gave instructions about pure devotional service to all the sages, Vaishnava sages. But they had some traces of contamination because of that they mistook these instructions in their own way. They started. Is it the same case as the Kumaras?
Okay. Yes. So Brahma taught. I don't know if he. Where does it say that Brahma taught pure devotional service to all this?
Okay, but I'm not sure about that. Okay, that might be... Okay, I won't comment on it, but I'm not sure about it. Brahma, of course, taught all his sons, but did he even try to teach pure devotional service to those who didn't have the adhikara? I don't know. I don't know about that. And anyway, the result is that those sons who were materialistic became authorities on karmakanda, even though Brahma was above that. He was not a karmakandi, he was transcendentalist. But some of his sons couldn't understand that. Whether he tried to explain in the essence, or whether he didn't even try, that I'm not sure. Yeah. So in the case of the Kumaras, it looks like he tried to, he presented the rahasya. Jiva Goswami says that rahasya was pure devotional service. But they didn't become pure devotees at that time. It went and, you know, they stored it somewhere in the back of their heads, but it didn't really reach their hearts. But they remember it. You know, they're mentioning it now. Some?
Seed, yes.
Well, what do you mean by... Of course, we're not seeing it as some Babaji see it, that people don't have a potential for devotional service until that seed is planted. It's not actually planting something from the outside. It's a poetic image. The seed is always there. Same Krishna as Kaviraja says that, also says Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Devotion is always in the heart. But it has to be awakened. So planting the seed really means waking it up. Okay, well, he began to wake it up. You know, it's not like it went in one ear and out the other. It stuck in their brains, but they didn't fully take advantage of it. At least they stored it away for later usage. And they can remember it now. So that's, you know, putting a seed, putting an idea in their head, but they didn't really take it seriously until now. Okay. So, anything else? All right, we'll move into the next paragraph. Now this says it. Idanim swaparadam dhyotayanto bhaktim pradayante. And now, alluding to their offense, they pray for devotional service in the verse beginning kamam. I think the last verse they speak. No, there's two verses. Anyway, next to the last verse. Kamam bhavat svavijinaya nirayeshu nakstat cheto livad yalinte parayoramita vajas tanas tulasivad yaliteng vishobaha purieta te punamunaya yalikarna randra. O Lord, we pray that you let us take birth in any hellish condition of life, just as long as our hearts and minds are always engaged in the service of your lotus feet. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just as tulsi leaves are beautified when offered unto your lotus feet. And as long as our ears are always filled with the chanting of your transcendental glories. So they're expecting that they've committed a big offense. They may be sent to hell now. They say, okay, let us go to hell, but make sure our hearts and mind are still attached to you and we get the chance to hear and chant your glories. Then we don't mind going to hell. Okay, alluding to their offense. Hey, Bhagavan. Atat purva asmatam vijinam nabhavat. Idanim tu sarvanyapi jatani. Yatas tvat bhaktau shapitau. O Lord, before this we had no distress. They were Brahma buddies. But now all distresses have arisen because your two devotees have been cursed. Well, they did the cursing, so now they're in trouble. Yatas, atas. See the difference? Yatas is because, and atas is therefore. Atas, tire. Vijinaya, nireyeshu kamam no smakam, Babo, Janma, start. Therefore, let us live, let us be born with those distresses in various hells. Stat. What form is that? No, it's not a noun, it's a verb. What? Tishta. No. It's kamapala. It's benedictive. May it be. May our birth in hell be. Okay? It starts my pity. Kamapala. Anena taragi adi gama utara purvanga yor aslesha vinashao tadvyapate shat iti nyayena asambhava mad bhavana bhavanam pamagyaninam api svesham bahu naraka kari bahu vijina pata kshama panena tayo itam bhutakano parihi iti vat sarvad bhuta mahattama tvam suchitam. Now we have a quote from Vedanta Sutra, a long sutra. Most Vedanta sutras are not this long, this one is. They begged for this forgiveness, even though they were knowers of the Absolute Truth, for whom this calamity could not possibly occur. Someone who's Brahman realized shouldn't have any sinful reactions. Even if he does something, there's no reaction. If you're liberated. And that's according with the Sutra of Vedanta. Vedanta Sutra says, when one has realized the Supreme, newly active sinful reactions no longer accrue to him, and his not yet active reactions become dissolved. Indeed, Scripture affirms these both. So even if he does something bad, he doesn't get a sinful reaction if he's liberated. And the former reactions, the reactions that are sitting in the heart waiting to fructify, just dissolve. Notice it doesn't say that prarabdha karma is eliminated. In the Vedanta Sutra, it's talking about liberation. And only pure devotional service can destroy prarabdha karma. Rather, only Krishna can. If he chooses, he can take away your prarabdha karma. You say, well, my prarabdha karma is fixed. I have an ugly body and a stupid brain. Krishna's not going to make me smart and beautiful. But he'll do something. If necessary, he'll destroy that body and let you take another body. But he'll get rid of your prarabdha karma one way or another. If he chooses, and to the extent that he chooses. It's Krishna's special mercy. But it only comes when pure devotional service is practiced. Relief of prarabdha karma. Otherwise, by other processes, including jnana, as the sadhana for mukti, the prarabdha karma has to be dealt with. You can't just, it doesn't dissolve. You have to live it. That's why, according to Shankaracharya's theory, one who takes sannyas is already liberated. And nobody can become liberated without taking sannyas. But if a sannyasi is liberated, then why is he still in this world? And then he has his theory in Shankaracharya of Jivan Mukti. Because the prarabdha karma doesn't just disappear. You have to live through it and use it up. You have to use up your good karma and your bad karma, according to this theory. And it's true, if you're following the jnana sadhana, you're going to have to live through your karma, your prarabdha karma, the already manifest reactions. But the path of pure bhakti is special. Krishna will, or can, if he chooses, to whatever extent he chooses, take away the prarabdha karma of a surrendered devotee. Okay. Anyway, they're thinking, they're begging for forgiveness,
they know that Krishna can forgive them. They know that without that special mercy of the Lord, they're going to have to suffer their prarabdha karma. And they're accepting it. Okay, we have to go to hell for cursing sages, for cursing gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. That's our prarabdha karma, we have to accept it. But we're submitting a special request to you. You decide what to do. If you want us to go to hell, okay. But we understand. We understand that you can favor your devotees and take away their prarabdha karma if you choose. Aho, niraya api bhaveyur eva. Maybe just turn it off. Aho, niraya api bhaveyur eva. Natavatapi pariyaptam. Tebyas cha namas nasmakam api bhayam. All the sages pray with pitiful cries. Let us reside in various hells. But there is something even worse. There's something worse than going to hell. We don't care about hell, but there's something worse. Natavatapi pariyaptam. Tevyas. Atra tu. Mulam. Dushpalam. Bhagavat paran muki bhava eva. Satu asmakam ma bud. Iti sakaku partayante. They're pitifully praying. Something worse. We have no fear of these hells, but please do not let us suffer the ultimate undesirable reaction of becoming inimical to the personality of Godhead. Four Kumaras are praying. Don't let us. You can give that to Jayan Vijaya, but don't give it to us. Yeah, we'll go to hell. But don't make us your enemies. Or don't let us become inimical to you. Boy. New Vitarke. See, so who's the greater devotees? The Kumaras or the gatekeepers? The gatekeepers are going to become enemies. What?
They're ready to take any position for
us. Yeah, they're willing to become enemies, so that makes them greater devotees. The four Kumaras are not. They're saying anything, but don't make us enemies. So I guess the gatekeepers are better. Nu vitarke yadi tu nas chetas te parayor rameta. Tatrap yalivad eva kevala tan madhurya aswada pekshaya natu brahmatma tan anubhava pekshaya. The word new expresses conjecture. Only let our hearts take pleasure at your feet, especially like bees. But how like bees? By being interested only in tasting the sweetness there. Bees are ready to get themselves killed to get the honey. They'll risk anything. They're so attracted by the sweetness. By being interested only in tasting the sweetness there, rather than being interested in realizing ourselves as one with the Supreme. Forget that Brahman realization. Let's have the nectar at your feet. The words beginning vachas. Evam vachas chityadi. Atra bhakta paradasya bhagavata kshama taditcha matra krita tatroda jananat tesham aparad abhasata twaina aiva twainati gayam. The words beginning vachas cha and our words. What do they say? Our words. Our words are made beautiful by speaking of your activities, just like tulsi leaves at your feet. So, our words, this these words can be explained similarly. Similarly means that they're praying, may our words be engaged in your service, even if we go to hell. They say, we should understand in this context, no, I'm sorry, Jiva Goswami says, we should understand in this context that the Supreme Lord forgave the offense to his devotees because it was only a shadow imitation of offense, having its origin in anger that was created simply by the Lord's desire. He made them eager to see him. Visyogamaya did that before, as they were entering Vaikuntha, as they were coming close. At the gate, they were frustrated and got angry. That was the Lord's arrangement. And so the offense wasn't a real offense. It was just it looked like an offense. Okay. Some commentary here. Even though Lord Narayan did not consider that the Kumaras had committed an offense by cursing Jayan Vijay, the sages thought this about themselves, that they had committed an offense. They imagined that the Lord might send them to hell several times, in one birth after another, being aware that even a minor offense against Vaishnavas, one must have to suffer great sinful reactions. And this was a major offense. It's one thing to bump into a Vaishnava or get angry at him, but this is to curse him, to fall into the material world. That's pretty heavy. So cursing him, I wouldn't go around cursing Vaishnavas. Certainly, cursing the Lord's gatekeepers to fall down from Vaikuntha was a serious offense. This thought disturbed them, but they are willing to accept the disturbance in exchange for the privilege to become servants of the Supreme Lord. Self-satisfied sages are peaceful. They try to avoid all emotions. Devotees of the Lord, however, seem to be subject to all kinds of feelings. The Kumaras do not mind this. Sri Jiva here cites the words, Itam Bhuta Guna Harihi, such are the wonderful qualities of Hari, from the famous Amarama verse of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which states that the Supreme Lord has qualities which impress even self-satisfied sages. His pure devotees also share some of these all-attractive qualities, so the words can also be taken to apply to them. The Kumaras at this point are not certain what is going to happen to them. They cannot do much to arrange a good outcome for themselves, but can only request the Lord to think kindly of them and then do what he pleases. Even though until just moments before they were impersonalists, practically ignorant of the ways of devotion, now they are speaking like experienced devotees of the Lord about engaging in his ecstatic service. Pure love resides deep in the heart of every living being because it is the real essence of life. Only in forgetful souls it remains asleep, to be awakened when there is contact with the Supreme Lord or his devotees. In the words of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Noi, pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. Madhyalila, chapter 22. Okay, any question? Yes?
About doorkeepers. In one of the verses in the story before you have spoken, they said that their behavior was not according to the one of the Lord. So
was not?
Bhagavad Astrikhani Shiva, something like this.
It wasn't desirable.
Yeah, it wasn't desirable. So we can say that it was their fault. Because of their fault, Kumaras. And Kumaras said that they were. It was said that they were completely fit to enter Vaikuntha, and they walked their way. So it looks like it was against.
Well, yes, from the rational point of view, from the point of view of ordinary justice,
they were wrong. The Kumaras were wrong to curse the... According to the Dharmic point of view, the Kumaras were wrong to curse the servants of... to be angry at the servants of the Lord for doing their duty. But Narayan is seeing it in a special way. He's not just judging it by the book. Technically, yes, they were wrong. But Narayan forgives them. And they realize that. That I know, they know that by the book, technically they should go to hell. But they're counting on his special mercy, on his forgiving them for it. Or they're not, they don't know. If you want to forgive us, we know you're our friend. You may punish us by sending us to hell. Just think nicely of us. And if you think we should go to hell, we'll accept that. Yes?
What I would say that it was not Kumara's fault that they cursed them, but it was fault of the doorkeepers that they stopped them.
Oh.
Yeah, vice versa.
The other way around.
Yeah,
okay. And that's how Narayan takes it. Narayan is taking the blame that it's my gatekeepers committed offense. When he talks, Narayan is going to tell them.
It was before, even before they...
Oh, he was thinking before he came?
Before those fishes who had chosen to cover their body, but the atmosphere looked only 5 years old, even though they were the oldest of all living creatures and had realized the truth of itself. But when the porters who happened to possess this disposition quite impossible to the Lord, since it is Bhagavad Gita school of Shiva. So, they saw the stages, they broke their way with their staff, despising their glories.
Yes.
All the stages did not deserve such treatment. So it looks like they were faulty to stop Kumaras.
Okay. I'm sorry. Who was faulty?
Jay.
We're at fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe in some way, I don't know, if their behavior wasn't proper to them.
Well, you know, it takes two to tango. Yeah, you could say it's fault on both sides. It takes two to tango. I mean, you know, to dance, you need two people. So to have a fight, you need two opposing parties who want to fight with each other. So, yes, the gatekeepers shouldn't have stopped them, but they shouldn't have cursed them also. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to do that. Yes? Did they really? Well, you could argue no, they weren't, and therefore they didn't actually enter Vaikuntha. But Lord Narayan came to the door to meet them. Which is they got that favor. They were sent back to the material world with Lord Narayan's full blessings. So which is more important, to get inside or to get the blessings? They got something better than getting inside. They got Narayan. So they maybe technically weren't fit to enter Vaikuntha, and the rule wasn't broken, so they didn't go inside. But they got pure devotional service and the Lord's blessings.
So then the further question arises, if they are there to meet Lord Vaikuntha, so they're at fault, but their purification...
Then they weren't at fault, yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't supposed to be allowed in. Yeah, but you didn't have to get angry at them. You could have politely asked them, they could have been diplomatic about it instead of just being angry. They were angry because they had committed an offense against Lakshmi. They're already a little agitated in their minds, Jaya Vijaya. So it's also their fault that they got angry. One thing to do your job, another thing to get upset about it. They didn't have to get upset. Yes? Amna Ramas Jamunayo. Yes.
Maybe it could be not for
Well, I can put it in. I mean, it shows up, it comes up several times in the Sundarbha. But, okay, where is it here? I don't see exactly. It's in the commentary? I'm sorry, which commentary? What's the paragraph number?
It's
20 or 19?
Second paragraph in the commentary.
No, which commentary?
To the
78 point... 20, got it. Okay. I'll just add it, okay. 1, 7, 10. Okay. Wait a second. But there is a reference. See, Itam Bhuta Gano Hari has a footnote. And there it says 1, 7, 10. That's why I didn't do it.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
I don't give the reference when it's already in the text.
I see, in the original text.
Yeah, in the translation, it's. In the translation it shows up.
And how?
The reference.
If they don't connect between Itam Bhuta Gano
and the famous Atmarama verse?
Yeah.
No, but it's the words, such are the wonderful qualities of Hari. You want me to give the Sanskrit also?
No. I mean...
Well, the thing is, if someone doesn't look at the Sanskrit, I often do that. I give the Sanskrit. I think here, it's such a famous thing. Devotees should know it.
Yeah.
And all the information is here. You just have to, use your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
You just have to know that such are the wonderful qualities of Hari is the translation of Itam Bhuta Gano Hari. But even in the translation, see, such are the wonderful qualities of Hari. And I put the footnote number also in the translation. It's the wrong number because I haven't adjusted the numbers yet.
Okay.
So from there, from the translation, you can be directed to the reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, it's redundant. Too much information.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Nuts. All right. That's it. It's time to stop. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Vijay. Anyone who's taking the test today, good luck.